Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Hello and welcome to another amazing episode of Slam Fire Radio. And joining me this week is Matthew McClatchy from Slam Fire Radio.
And joining me from Slam Fire Radio from all the way across the province is Owen Flewelling, the warrior, if you will.
I'm very happy to be here, Matthew. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. You know, I wasn't sure if our schedules were going to line up, but... Oh, no, wait a minute. This isn't the interview part of the show.
Good thing.
We should call up Trevor and interview him is what we should do. Oh, I should actually call him on the... See, Trevor's not with us tonight. Well, Trevor's not usually with us. Well, no, it's not with it, I guess. Trevor's not usually with it. But with us tonight, I mean, he's busy doing... like moving and stuff. He's really busy, so I'm going to actually call him up. And if I could remember, I can't remember his cell phone number. That'd be hilarious, though. Anyway, and then I got it. 0762. I remember the last four numbers is the caliber. So we'll see how this goes.
Now everybody has his number.
Well, I didn't say the first three numbers, so we might have to bleep. I don't know how bad he's going to swear at me for bothering him. Is the thing. So it might be funny, and it might not be. I don't know. Hello? Hello? Aw, he's not answering. That's too bad.
Jerk.
What a jerk. It was a good try, though.
And we call him a friend. That's the last time I'm going to do that.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway, yeah, as you can tell, Trevor's not here. It's just me and Owen, and we're messing up the show right off the bat because... Well, we can. Trevor's not here to keep control of us, I guess.
Right. But we got to be careful because we don't want to make him look like the responsible one.
I don't think we're in any danger of doing that. That's funny. Yeah, no, coming up on the show later on, we do actually have a really special guest, Reno Viola. Apparently, it's Reno Viola. I've been saying it wrong my entire life.
Then you let me do it too.
Yeah. Oh, Trevor just texted me. He says you guys are jerks. So yes, we are, and that doesn't bother me a bit. So.
Well, Matthew, why don't you tell us what you did with guns this week?
Well, what I did with guns this week, I did another show with Ken Kowalski, another Rimfire podcast. He did a round table episode with two other guys who I should really be able to remember their names. Oh, this is embarrassing. I know Ken Kowalski was there, and Matthew McClatchy was there. Brain fart. Their names right on the tip of my tongue. I don't remember. Anyway, I'm sorry, guys. You were there. It was really cool. One of them was from Ballistics by the Inch, which is a really cool website. If you've never been to it, it's basically a website where he takes a rifle and shoots it and then takes an inch off the barrel and shoots it again. Like he shoots the groups of 10 shots or whatever and kind of averages out what the actual velocity losses are for each rifle at different barrel lengths. So it's really neat. If you wanted to see, you know, does a 16-inch 22 have better velocity than a 24-inch 22, you can go there and you can find out. It's really neat.
Kind of find your optimum barrel length for, you know, performance versus convenience.
Yes.
That's neat.
Yep. No, it is neat. I got a text again from Trevor saying that was funny. So apparently he could hear us, but we just couldn't hear him. So maybe I'll try him again later on, but I'm not going to interrupt myself again. Oh, wait. I do that all the time.
At least you're just interrupting yourself now.
Yep. The other gentleman that was on the show with us, I don't remember his name either because I'm bad at these things, but he's on another podcast. Man, I suck at this tonight. I gotta look this up. I'm gonna. Owen, what do you do with guns this week? It's gotta be up, right?
Nothing like being prepared.
I'm always prepared.
Okay. Yeah. You're Mr. Prepared. Owen, hurry up and start the show.
Do you have
something witty for the show? Hurry up and start the show.
Jim Downey. Jim Downey is the guy from Ballistics by the Inch. He really interesting guy. I've never spoken to him before, but like I said, I've been on his website a lot, and he was really interesting to actually talk to. And it was Grant Cunningham. Of course, I know who he was. I just couldn't remember his name. But he's on the Gun Nation podcast, of course. So you guys probably all know who he is. And of course, I was on there too. And it was basically just talking about what we'd like to see come out of the firearms industry regarding rimfire. And so, of course, I kicked it off by saying that a carbine, 22 long rifle carbine would just be awesome. Something that was made, say, after the PMR-30, which is the 30-round 22 Magnum pistol, but in 22 long rifle, because 22 Magnum, you know, that's the thing of the past. Well, of course, the next guy, Jim, comes up and he says, "Well, actually, I'd rather see more 22 Magnum." I'm like, "Oh crap, I did it wrong." But anyway, yeah, we talked about that a bunch, and it was actually a really interesting show, so you should head over and check it out if you haven't done so yet. I really enjoyed being on there with those guys. Other than that, I have been playing with my Marlin Papoose, and I know Trevor hates it when I say Papoose, so I'm going to say Papoose a lot. I don't remember last week. Did I talk about... Had it arrived last week? I don't think it had.
I don't think so. No, because you just told me about it last night.
Right, so it finally arrived, and my original plan was to toss it in the ATI Fiberforce stock, because it would, I mean, the whole idea for getting the Papoose, there you go again, Trevor, was the shorter barrel. It's got a 16 1/4-inch barrel instead of an 18-inch barrel that the 795 has, and I've got this thing for short-barreled guns, and insert your own witty comment here, if you will. The issue with this is twofold. One, the barrel is detachable, which means that there's a big nut, I guess, that tightens the barrel onto the receiver. So that's extra material in front of the receiver, which means that's material that has to be taken off of the stock, which isn't impossible to do. But if I did do that to the ATI stock, it wouldn't be reversible, and I wouldn't be able to put a 795 back in it if, for whatever reason, I didn't like the Papoose in there. So that kind of turned me off, so I didn't do that. And the other thing is the profile of the barrel is a lot thinner. I wouldn't call it pencil thin, but it's more of your standard 22 barrel profile, and it's perfectly straight. There's no taper to it, or if there is, very, very little taper. So it kind of, the 795, I've always been very happy with their barrels because, number one, they're micro-grooved, which means they're very, very accurate. And number two is they have a thicker profile than most 22 barrels, so they stick out the end of the fiber four stock perfectly. They touch the stock all the way around. It's not free floated at all. It's a very compact, very tight fit, which is, you know, nice. It doesn't rattle around at all. So the thinner profile Papoose barrel is just kind of sticking out the end, and it's got this big gap all the way around. Yeah, it's free floated, which I'm sure is going to help the accuracy and whatnot, but it kind of looks a little silly. So I just left my 795 in the ATI stock, and what I did was I have a spare 795 factory stock, and I took it and I cut that out so that the barrel nut would fit into that, and so now I have a 795 with a Papoose length barrel on it, basically. So I couldn't believe the difference in weight. The 795 is a light rifle to begin with at, like, you know, 5 pounds, if that. It must be like 3 pounds now. There's like nothing to it. It's very, very...
Are you sure you're going to be able to handle the recoil with such a light rifle?
Oh, I mean, that's the thing, eh? I'm glad it's not 22 Magnum. I'd be screwed then. But, it looks really sharp in the other stock. It is, it's definitely free-floated now, which I have no idea if it'll affect accuracy at all or not. I expect it to be very accurate to begin with, so that'll be fun. One of the downsides, and this is one of the newer Papooses, not one of the first gens, I guess. It's one of the ones that actually ended up having to be sent back to the factory by its original owner.
The young Papoose?
What's that?
The young Papoose.
Yeah, not the young papoose. It's an old papoose. No, wait.
Oh, it's
No, the other way around. It's yeah. A young, yeah, an old one. Or, yeah, you know what I mean.
Not anymore.
No, neither do I. It's a young one, not an old one.
Okay.
It's a new one. Thomas Donnelly actually hooked me up with this rifle. It used to be his. He sold it to a guy. That guy sold it to another guy. And Thomas was nice enough to track down all these owners and get me in touch with the current owner. His name was Justin. And I asked Justin if he'd be willing to part with it. And, of course, he was. So that's how I ended up with it. But Thomas actually ended up having to send this one back to the factory and get the barrel fixed because the sights were on crooked. So, anyway, the sights are on proper now. And the other, the thing that I noticed that I didn't really like is the front sight was actually plastic. It has a metal ramp, but the sight that gets pushed into the dovetail was just plastic. And I could move it with my finger, so that wasn't very good. So, I had a spare metal sight laying around, so I found one that was exactly the same size, and I pushed it instead. So, now it's very solid. Yeah, I'm very happy with it. I have not even fired it yet. I can't wait to get out to the range on Saturday and do some shooting with it, but it's been really cold here and work and school and painting the living room, which was boring as heck, but it had to be done. And it's almost done, but it's not done yet, so we'll be doing that next week too. But anyway, yeah, so it's sitting in the 795 stock. I also McClatchied the action, which no, doesn't mean I fired a warning shot at it. I have a specific set of things that I do to 795 actions, and that's the really cool thing about this papoose is it has the exact same action as a 795, so I knew my way around it instantly when I took it apart. I always remove the magazine disconnect safety, so the gun now will fire without a magazine inserted, which I think is about the dumbest safety you could ever come up with. If I lose the magazine, I still want to be able to fire the gun. I'm sorry, but that's the way I am.
Yeah, I agree.
So I did that, and I also...
Especially with a survival rifle.
Yes, especially with a survival rifle. Can you imagine? Yeah. Oh, I lost my mag. Yeah. That's the other thing I should mention. It came with two magazines, both of them 7 rounds, not 10.
Oh.
So that's weird. I've got 2 7-round mags and 5 10-round mags and 1 25-round mag. Yeah, they're short mags. They're not the high capacity clips.
Yeah.
They're not the assault clips. The high. But so anyway, the trigger on this one was actually fantastic right out of the box. So I didn't have to tweak the trigger at all, but I did do my slingshot mod. So now whenever the bolt locks back, I can remove the magazine, put in a new magazine, and then just pull back on the bolt and let go to close it. Normally on a 795, you have to push down the lever with your finger. You can't just pull back and let go. If you do that, it just stays locked back. It's dumb.
Sort of like the 1022 that way.
Yeah, the 1022, yours, you can't. I mean, I think the new ones now, you just pull back and let go and it will close the bolt. But the older ones, and yours included, I don't know why you haven't let me fix that for you yet, but...
Mine's not that old, but...
Yeah, well, maybe the new ones don't have that feature yet. But yeah, the 1022, you pull it back and you have to press a switch in order to lock the bolt back. And then to release it, you have to pull the bolt back. You don't just let go. You have to press that same switch again before the bolt will go forward, which I find kind of dumb. There's a very simple mod where you can just pull back and let go, which most semi-auto firearms you're able to do. So it doesn't make sense why 22s would be any different.
Yeah, but I don't really use it anyway.
You don't take it to the range and have ceasefires where you have to keep your action open and let the range officer inspect it. So I don't even think you know how to operate that feature, do you?
No, I did figure it out on our campus.
Oh, good.
There. I played around with it enough.
Well, that's nice. Nice to hear that you finally figured out how to run your gun.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of what I did. I'm now in the midst of taking the trigger group out of the old trigger guard set, I guess, and putting it in my 795 one because the one that came with the papoose actually was cracked. So there was a bit of plastic there that got cracked. So I'm just transferring over the trigger and the safety. And I wouldn't normally do that, except that they're made out of stainless steel, which looks a lot cooler than the black plastic that the 795 mm-hmm. has. So I'm just basically blinging out my rifle. So, yeah.
Which really is not you.
No, it really isn't. But it's really neat. It's, you know, it's a stainless, it's a, an aluminum receiver, brushed aluminum with a stainless steel barrel, and now I guess it's probably actually a stainless steel safety and a brushed aluminum trigger. But it, yeah, it, it's I really like the contrast. It reminds me of my my Ruger SR9 with the stainless steel slide and the polymer frame, and then of course like my AR, which is the stainless steel barrel and the polymer everything else. So. Yeah, I like the contrast of stainless steel and black plastic.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I blathered on enough. I think I think Owen, we can probably move on to you and see what you did this week.
Not very much. About the only thing I did was order some projectiles for my antique pistol for my 11mm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I actually got them ordered. They're going to be a couple weeks before the guy can get them made. Somebody on CGN making them for me. So,
well, that's neat. You don't have your own molds for those? That'd be kind of cool.
No, I don't. They're kind of a weird mold, I think. They're not a regular.
Yeah, but it's not like you need to buy many of them. Just buy one and get old tire weights and melt them down and make your own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it's simple to mold them once you have the mold. But I've talked to a couple people and they kind of look at, because it's like, I forget what the name of it is, the proper name for the type of bullet. But it's like a cap bullet that is wider. It's not straight walled,
right
side of the projectile. It kind of caps off, so it's like a mushroom almost. It caps off the it's got a name, I can't think of it right now.
You'll think of it later and just blurt it out halfway through the show.
That's right.
That'll be fine. I don't mind. It's like,
yeah, anyway, so it's kind of a different mold, so most people don't, yeah. Anyway, I can't find a place to get one, so but this guy, he's a decent price on him, so.
But if I'll you could it. Find him, would you get one?
Yeah, yeah. If I could find a mold, I probably would.
That would be cool. It'd be nice to have mold. I mean, you can't always run to other people to get your bullets made for you. If you have your own mold, you can do it yourself. That'd be awesome.
Yep, yep. That's right. And the lead's not a problem for me to find. So
no.
And yeah. So I got, I don't know, I think I forget what I ordered now. 300 projectiles and another 50 brass.
Oh, that's a day at the range right there.
Yeah, and I think I've got about 50 brass now. So, yeah, it's not that kind of a gun, but I do want enough that I can practice a little bit with it and kind of figure out where it's shooting, because I've never put more than a few rounds through it at a time because I didn't have very many for it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I did that, and I guess I am still – I ordered the rest of my stuff. I talked a little bit about this last week, my PDW build
that I'm doing. Yes, how's that coming along? You got it done yet?
Haven't got any of the parts yet, but everything is ordered except for one thing.
That's not important though, is it? That one part that you are missing?
No, it's not. It's not important to the firing of the gun, but it is important to the build, in my opinion.
Oh, and what is it? I don't even know what it is. I thought it'd be something silly like the barrel or something.
No. It's a muzzle brake, and I had the one I wanted. I had it all picked out. It was in stock. The next day I go to order it and it's out of stock.
Remember when I was sitting there next to you in your computer room there and you were looking at it and I said, you should order that.
Yeah, that was the barrel.
Oh, really? Are you sure it wasn't the other one? Because it'd be funnier if it was the other one.
No, that was the barrel.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I don't know if I talked about this in the show last week either, but it's just, when I talk to you, everything strings together.
I have that effect on people.
Yeah. Did I talk about ordering the wrong barrel?
Oh, you told me. I don't think you told the listeners.
Yeah. So I, in my haste to order this barrel, because I'd looked at it two or three times on the website.
So this is the one you're going to blame on me. I told you to order it real quick, and so you did, and it was the wrong one. Right?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know where this is going. Jerk.
And so I went back to the website, and I just scrolled down through, and the 7.5-inch barrel, there it was. Click, buy, payment information, blah, blah, blah. And then I get the receipt on the email, and I just kind of scroll down through it for whatever reason. I don't know why. I'm glad I did, though. 300 blackout.
Like, nice.
What?
So you're making a 300 blackout then. That's cool. I can't wait to shoot that.
Yeah, apparently. So I'm like in a huge panic, emailing the company going, wait. I ordered the wrong thing by mistake and blah, blah, blah. And it was the same price for the barrel. The barrel was the same price.
Well, that's good. And did they have the other one in stock?
And they had the other one in stock. So they just emailed me back, said no problem, we switched it. So hopefully that's all right. I got a notification today that the order was being processed or yesterday. Good. So
we gotta behave now. Trevor's on.
Whatever. I'm not like that now.
Yeah, well, thank you, Owen. Like that ever stopped you before?
So Trevor doesn't believe me that we couldn't hear him earlier. So he's going to have to wait and listen to the show and realize that I'm actually not lying to him. We couldn't hear him when I called earlier. Could we?
Strange, because normally it's the mute button on my headset that I'm not smart enough to figure out. The cell phone. No, I can't figure out my cell phone either, but I doubt very much I had it muted because it makes a really loud, annoying beeping sound when you mute it.
Right. So was it making that loud, annoying beeping sound?
No, it was not.
Should have been.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. So do you find that stock?
No, I didn't actually even go look for it yet. That's a good idea. I should do that while Owen continues on talking about his 300 blackout build he's making.
That's panic!
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the only thing, I'm pretty sure I've got everything coming that I need. The only thing left is this muzzle brake, an Allen Gunworks linear muzzle brake. So
tell us what a linear muzzle brake is and why it's super cool.
But first, I have a question about it, Owen.
But second, you should really answer my question first.
Well, you did ask. I know you're both just can hardly wait to ask me questions and get my sage, you know, opinion and advice and knowledge. But
I just want to know if the outside diameter is less than the inside diameter of your handguard.
Don't have a clue.
Well, that'll be a nice surprise. It'll either be, yay, it fits, or don't.
Yeah, I know machinists.
There you go.
No, I think it should. I don't think it's actually going to fit inside. It's going to be almost perfectly flush with it.
Oh, I'm not gonna go. Last week it was going to be perfectly flush. I thought you meant it would be inside and the end of the muzzle brake would be perfectly flush with the end of the handguard.
No, it's going to stick out past. Yeah, the threads stick out past that handguard, just, I think. But I don't have the barrel yet, so I'm not going to know for sure until I get the barrel here and I can kind of compare. But it's a 7-inch handguard on a 7.5-inch barrel. So, I mean, there's half an inch of threads, right? There's half an inch of threads on those barrels. So, it's going to be super close.
I just went and looked, Trevor. It is actually the exact same stock I just ordered. They're misrepresenting it. It is not a Marlin 795 stock. It is a Marlin 60 stock. And it says it'll fit a 795, and all you got to do is cut out a little bit of material. But it's not true. You got to do a lot of cutting out. So anyway.
Pierre-Luc, you suck. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not his fault, because the website actually does say 795 stock for Marlin, and it's not.
But you can tell by the image. Are you sure they're just not using a file photo?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same model or part number that I ordered, and it's the one that I received is definitely the one for the 60. There is none for the 795. ATI just never made one.
Okay.
So anyway,
little misrepresentation there.
That's all right. I mean, if you know, people want to order it and but the moral of the story, they can just send it to me.
You're smart enough to figure it out.
Right.
But some cars aren't compatible with some sets.
I don't get the reference, but I'm going to laugh and say, ha-ha, you're right.
It's a Hot Wheels reference.
Oh!
Not to be used with some sets.
I should know that, because I like Hot Wheels.
All right. All right. Carry on, Owen. Yeah.
Where were you again? What were you talking about?
He was 7.5 inches into a build, I think.
Right. Wait, what? What?
Yeah, so that's... Yeah, I guess that's it. I have to wait now for this muzzle brake to come in stock.
I'm just saying.
I was going to tell you what a linear muzzle brake was. That's what your question is.
Yes! Tell me about linear muzzle brake.
Well, linear muzzle brake is basically a muzzle brake that redirects the gases, flame, and everything else forward instead of up or sideways.
So like just like a regular barrel, like most barrels do.
Like an A2 flash hider directs it. Upwards.
Yes, but if you didn't have a muzzle brake, everything would go forward anyway. So basically, it just directs all the gases forward like a barrel without anything on it.
Let him finish.
You were saying? It's funny in my way.
I know what you're doing, but...
It's not going to work this time, McClatchy.
Like an A2 flash hider directs everything upwards. A compensator tends to direct it.
Explaining me what one side is, by explaining me what it's not.
Backwards, because I'm just I'm trying to do the listeners a favor and explain.
I don't think you're doing anyone a favor. What is a linear muzzle brake?
Quickly, tell them what a muzzle brake is, and then tell them what a linear muzzle brake is.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, quickly.
Linear muzzle brake directs the gases.
No, muzzle brake first, then linear.
What? I just was trying to do that.
Yeah, but we kept cutting you off because we're morons.
Now we're going to let you go. Start with regular muzzle brake, then linear. Go.
No.
Okay, so what a regular muzzle brake does is it redirects the gases from the gunpowder out to the sides and to the rear. So it actually blows gas back towards you.
Yeah, if you had not interrupted listening, you would realize that's exactly the words I said.
Yeah, I know, but I interrupted you, and I wasn't listening, so.
So get over it. My God. Well, that is a great explanation, Matthew. Thank
you. So what a linear one does is it does that same thing, but then instead of blowing that back to the side or back towards you, it blows it downrange. So it actually does two things. It helps reduce the recoil, which is weird, but it really does, and it also redirects the sound downrange. So while it doesn't actually make the gun sound any quieter to anybody else, to you, the shooter, it sounds a little bit quieter, which is nice, and you don't bother the people to the left and to the right of you with excessive muzzle blast when you're on the range.
Wow, that's a great job, Owen.
I hate you guys.
Owen could have explained that better. Well, who knows if he could have or not. We didn't let him.
He said no, so I jumped in.
So it's pretty much the entire opposite of the type of muzzle brake that I prefer.
That's correct.
And if you want to see what one of my muzzle brakes looks like, go to the M. Matt YouTube channel and look at the still image on the front of the three-gun video that he made from our multi-gun match in October.
That is a muzzle blast and a half.
And to have caught it at the perfect time when I'm going in the transport, and it just, it's like a half a foot of flame out of both sides of the barrel. And two gazillion decibels.
Oh, my goodness, it's loud in there. Oh, yeah, muzzle brakes will definitely louden the gun, unless it's a linear muzzle brake, in which case it quietens the gun, but not for the purposes of silencers or suppressors. RCMP, you can go elsewhere while you listen.
The cool thing about podcasts, they're probably driving, so they're listening elsewhere everywhere.
Oh, wait, what? You lost me at hello.
And they just look cool.
Well, this one looks especially cool because they're so solid. They look suppressor-ish, even though they're not. This one's only a couple inches long. It's not one of the big, long 4.5 or 6-inch ones.
But you didn't want a big, long one because then it would really defeat the purpose of having a 7.5-inch barrel on your 7.
Yeah, unless I wanted to do that to make it look like a suppressor, that would be the only reason to put that on.
Yeah.
Just to make it look like a can. Yeah.
Is this going to be Amy's gun or your gun?
This is technically my wife's gun because it is, you know, shorter, smaller, lighter.
Is it kind of like Jewel 795 that I take to the range more than she does?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah okay.
As long as we're clear on that.
Call a spade a spade. It's her gun long enough to know how to use it and in case of emergency. Other than that, it's Owen's new cool short AR.
I'll tell you what, though. No, I better not say that.
Yeah.
All right.
Say it and I'll edit it out. I'm not really going to edit it out.
Amy might use this more than Jewel uses her 22.
It's probably true.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
But what you don't want is for her to use her guns as much as Toby Lee's wife uses her guns and his guns. One of the hosts from Politics and Guns, I mean. Styx's wife, same thing. She ended up taking ownership of one of his 1911s that he had refinished. You got to be careful. It becomes a slippery slope.
That's an antique anyway. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's really not good of him to do that. He should not allow her to take that because, I mean, it's just, to me, as the head of my household, I just couldn't sleep at night letting my wife use something that could have problems and jam in the time of need.
That's right. You got to give them something reliable.
That's right.
Yeah. So, husbands, buy your wives Glocks.
Yep.
Glocks. And,
it's not as much fun, Trevor, when you agree with me.
Well, just remember what Toby said. What's hers is hers and what's his is hers.
Yeah.
That's what you don't want to have happen.
I don't know. I'd be okay with that, I think.
Yeah. Tell that to me when she's going to the range without you with one of your guns.
Yeah. Honey, you're taking care of the kids.
I'm going shooting.
Wait, what? Cool. All right. Well, are you done, Owen? Finally?
I think I have to be now since you're the boss and you've told
me. I'm not the boss. It's actually you're the boss this week.
Well, yeah, but you've asked the leading question. Oh, are you done, Owen?
Oh, and now, I guess you have to be now, don't you?
Yeah, now I have to be done. Trevor, what did you do this week?
Oh, not much.
Oh, wait, you're not supposed to be on the show this week. Don't ask him.
That's right. I'm just upcoming events.
No, I just, last time we recorded, my buddy Mark Giroux was over here. You guys know him from IPSC. And I loaded 1,000 rounds for him this week. We were supposed to load it together. Thanks for showing up. And then I gave him the 1,000 rounds last night at the gun club meeting. He said, so how do you feel about loading another 1,000, pal? And he handed me another box of projectiles. But it's my pleasure to do it.
So, how to do it.
Yeah. And then I kept Paul Lathrop up. While he was trying to sleep in his truck, I kept him up for like 2 hours the other night. And it was actually after we were done recording. I was like, all right, guys, I'm tired. I'm going to let you go. I don't want to talk about guns anymore. It was like midnight. I'm like, I'm bored. I wonder what Paul Lathrop's doing. And and the funny part was the next day, I was like, do you know, Paul, sorry I kept you up and sorry I never let you get a word in edgewise. And his reply was, really? I thought I was the one that did all the talking.
Oh, no, you were on mute again all night.
Probably.
Both just sat there, talking.
And long, awkward silences I couldn't figure out. then last night, we had our annual general meeting at the Rescue Gun Club, followed by a SummerSlam 8 committee meeting. And at the annual general meeting, we elected a new executive, and I am proud to announce that I am now the vice president of the Rescue Gun Club.
Oh, that's a problem.
And then
I mean, congratulations.
Well, it could be worse. I could have been stuck with secretary. But
You can't write very well, can you?
Let's not forget my reading abilities either. If we're gonna call, if we're gonna pick on my abilities,
I was gonna say he'd have to read the minutes from the previous meeting every meeting.
No, I wouldn't. Minutes have been distributed. Can I get a motion to accept them as written?
Oh, you guys do that.
As written. Yep.
There's a potato chip on this page. What is that? I don't know.
I told that you I could count a potato.
And a smiley face? Go ahead, Owen.
I was just going to say that reminds me, Trevor, of our annual meeting next week for our club.
And you will take over presidency.
Well, no, that's
you
not.
Will take
no,
over presidency.
No, I don't know that. I am going to allow my name to stand if nominated.
Oh, you got to do the Jedi wave thing.
You will take over the nomination. Of
will
presidency.
Take over presidency. So when our nomination started, I nominated everyone except for the secretary. The guy who was currently secretary is a buddy of mine, but the previous secretary said that he would come back, and I didn't want to play favorites or anything. Like, one guy's my friend, the other guy does the better job. Did I say that? I did.
Wait.
So
I did. Wait, what?
So I just stood back and I said, Harold, nominate that guy because I can't because I'm friends with the other guy. That's cool, right? That's okay. It's
sure.
Like campaigning for one guy and voting for the other guy. Is it kind of so? The executive is as follows. Chris Kingston remained president. I'm the first vice president. Serge Noel is the second vice president. If you listen carefully, you're going to catch a theme here. Chris is president. I'm vice president. Sal's the second vice president. Jason McIntyre is the chief range officer. Mark Giroux is the treasurer. And Helmut Biddle is the secretary.
You're all silhouette shooters.
One of these things is not like the other. Which one? So Helmut used to run the trap section, and all the other guys are Madman IPSC shooters. So, yeah, we finally have a coup almost in place.
Nice. So,
yep. And then at the meeting for the SummerSlam, I was asked to take over member registrations.
Oh, so that's going to be a big mess up this year, isn't it?
You got that right. Your squads are screwed. Nobody's going to get what they want. But no, I'm just going to – the registration money will be sent to the rescuersgunclub@gmail.com through EMT. I'll deposit the money in accounts, and I'll file your paperwork. And then if you have to bail, I'll make sure you get an EMT back to refund your money. I'm not doing squatting. I'm just handling registration and the correspondence with regards to registration.
Well, that should be all right then.
Yeah, well, it's going to be what it's going to be, and that's
well, yeah.
I shall not lose sleep over it.
That's the best way to do that.
Yeah. So
cool.
So that's all right. That's what I did. How about you there, McClicky?
Well, we're done, me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're into upcoming events now. Thanks for joining us.
Better late than pregnant, I guess.
T-shirt orders. Send an EMT to slamfireradio@gmail.com. You're ready for money, right? Is that they've been ordered? Like, what's the status on
that? That's the theme. We're going to go with that.
Okay.
Did you get enough money yet to place the order? I got to pay you for one.
I should finish up that artwork real quick.
I thought it was done.
It's not far from being done.
Oh, dope. Did anybody talk to the guy about the charity?
Who?
I guess not.
All right.
We're going to talk to the guy about the thing over at the other place?
Yeah, we already talked to him. Well, by the magic of editing, we haven't done it yet. But yes, we've already done the interview with Mr. Viola.
I said charity.
Oh, you mean Steve Lee?
No.
What? What are you talking about?
The guy who has the information about...
Oh, no, we haven't done anything about that yet.
I told you, the guy about the thing over at the other place. What, you right, don't speak? You don't speak, mafioso?
The thing with the thing with the thing.
Talk about the guy at the other place.
No, didn't do that.
All right, so we still can't announce what our charity will be.
No, but it's going to be cool. Probably.
Most likely, I guess.
Okay, U.S. listeners, we're still on t-shirts here, guys. Thanks for the scroll, though. PayPal
no
for U.S. listeners, otherwise EMT to slamfireradio@gmail.com, $25. include full name and address and what you're ordering in the message with the EMT or the PayPal.
And if you're in Connecticut, you'll probably have to register your t-shirt.
Yeah.
Too soon?
Too soon, sorry. And so that as in what you're ordering, as in large or medium or very small.
Yeah, don't swirl. Yeah, don't order like a
Big
Mac.
Should get that on the back of the shirts. You could have your choice.
Dude, we've already done this.
Talking out of our brass or squirrel or
yeah, there's going to be a squirrel and a rock on there somehow. It's going to be funny.
Right. Charity shoot with Steve Lee, Rescuers Gun Club, June 28th. We're going to trap. We're going to small bore silhouette. We're going to rifle shoot, and then we're going to Ipsic style mini match.
Sounds like fun. I'm in.
So, yeah, most of it should be fun, especially the Ipsic style mini match. Practical Armed Response Academy. That was supposed to be a joke, but nobody.
I got it. No, it's funny because you suck at trap, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's it. I rock shooting skeet, though.
Right.
Yeah, I was gonna like last week when you were talking about that. We went through a whole box of skeets. And I'm like, oh man, are we gonna do this again?
Pretty sure that was done on purpose. I didn't bite. I don't know
Jason
about you, but
Philp was rolling over in his grave.
Probably. Wait,
he's still alive. Never mind. But I'm sure he was like yelling at his truck radio while he's driving his big truck.
He's probably gonna send us another audio clip from his truck that we won't be able to hear again.
Ooh, I just called. No, yeah.
No, there. Sorry, I just ran over a moose.
And
do you think that's what they say in Newfoundland instead of squirrel? They go moose.
Moose. I hope so.
Sorry, Owen.
Guess what's going on August 2nd and 3rd? Is that actually a confirmed date?
Tommy, get off your butt and book your vacation. It's January 9th already. Like, for real, dude. You said January. So on the 2nd, I sent him an email. I haven't heard back from him.
Because it is possible we're going to have a person drop out because of those dates.
Oh,
that's good. That means somebody on the waiting list can get on. That's Jason Gallen, I'm looking at you.
Who's first on the waiting list?
Gallen.
Nope.
It's not?
Nope.
Who's first on the waiting list?
Hold on, I'll tell you.
J. Jason Gallen was supposed to be first in the waiting list.
I don't know. I put the first person on the waiting list.
Peter Wasson is the first person on the waiting list. Jason Gallen second.
Jason second. That's right. Yeah. I remember that now. Sorry, Peter. Didn't mean to scare you like that.
So anyway, I mean, that's not confirmed 100% for sure either.
But oh, no.
Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course on Hopewell. Tentatively, still, August 2nd and 3rd. The day one is a defensive handgun course with Mag 40 instructor, Tommy Nelson from the Gun Dudes. And day two is an IPSC match, sort of a mini match, which will be kind of like a rehash, a rerun, regurgitation of SummerSlam's best stages. The multi-gun, which is August 16th and 17th. Yeah, that's in Restigouche as well. Everything happens in Restigouche.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
It's the best darn shooting range this side of Texas. I don't know. I just made that up. But it's a good shooting range.
Yeah, for a lot of stuff, yeah.
It's like Freedom.
The range?
Yeah, we have freedoms there that other people don't have elsewhere in the country.
Oh. Oh, you're kind of like your own little mini republic there.
Yeah, we're kind of like Texas in Canada at that range. You know? What do you mean you don't have a shooting line? What do you mean you can move around? I mean, move stuff around.
Oh, there it is. 25.
My bad.
Thanks, Trevor. I was almost getting out of this without editing. Not anymore. All right, carry on. We're almost like halfway through our listener feedback at this point.
Oh, really?
I got to do some quick math here and make sure we're not going over time. Wait, too late.
Potato. I see. I should have stayed off.
No, it's okay. You're doing good.
It's
really cool because I found a new button on my keyboard that pops up my calculator instantly. It's really neat.
Okay. We are going to talk to a very special guest. From the Reno Viola.
Apparently. Viola, yeah.
What did I say? Viola, didn't
you? Said Viola, and that's my bad. I've been pronouncing it Viola the whole way, but I've been wrong. Mr. Reno, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I suck at this.
Mr. Reno, I've always called it Viola.
Reno Viola. Outdoor, I think I pretty much screwed it up in the interview, too, which kind of sucks, but...
That's okay. He clearly doesn't hate you because he said pretty cool things about our show. So hey, why are we saying what happened? Why don't we let the listeners listen?
Let's go straight to...
What do you mean what happened? It hasn't happened yet.
Stop. Right, it's going to happen. Magic. I swear.
I'm special. I have this sixth sense. I know it's going to be a good interview. I just can sense it.
Yeah, I'm going to sense you here in a second.
All right, here we go. And joining us now is Reno Viola from the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for having me on. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Oh, this is great. Before you start
asking the questions, I just want to tell whoever's listening to your show that it is one of the shows on our network that gets a lot of response from the readers. Readers or the listeners are really curious, and they do listen to your show, and they actually send me mail about what you guys are talking about, which is kind of neat. And you know, obviously, as long as you've got some interesting content like that, that kind of mail and that kind of response is going to keep up. So we're going to love you.
Well, that's pretty cool. If only they would send us the email. It's funny, this week, it's our first week. We actually had to go looking for listener feedback to fill up our mailbag. We usually have, you know, we got to sort through it and pick out stuff we don't want to put in and stuff we can put in. And so, yeah, I mean, listeners, if you want to send us email, you know, we'll take it too, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes that they're intimidated. They forget that we all put our pants on one leg at a time.
What's this one leg at a time you speak of?
Well, you guys don't do that way? Jump right into them, both legs?
Yeah, but I got to stand on my head, so I think one leg at a time works probably better.
So a lot of times they're afraid to, especially if it's a simple question, they're almost intimidated to ask it to the person that they want to direct it to. So sometimes it's easy to steer around corners and get your response that way. But anyways, as long as the emails keep going and the phone calls keep coming, we're going to love you on this network. So keep going.
Beauty. That's nice to hear.
Well, why don't we start out by having you tell a little bit about yourself, telling us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to give away my age, but I started in this industry back around 1980-ish, like that. And between my brother and myself, we created a television show called the Fishing Canada Show. Fishing was spelled F-I-S-H apostrophe N, Canada Show, and we used to go fishing across Canada. And that soon enough got syndicated through Canada, the U.S., and then we started across the world. And it went really, really well for 35 some odd years. Wow. Until I retired, I guess, about 7 years ago. I decided to get out of the industry.
Okay.
Well, being out of the industry, I wanted to abandon. I didn't want to come back in the industry, but then I got inducted into the Sports Fishing Hall of Fame. And during that ceremony, I caught the fishing bug again. So I knew I wanted to get back in the industry, and I didn't want to do television. So that's why we created the web radio station. And you know what? Right now it goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we've got fresh content 4 days a week. And we're building to have fresh content 7 days a week. So, you know what? We're really excited about it. It's working really, really well for us. And it's thanks to great guys like you and great programming like yourself that will make this thing expand.
Well, I mean, it was I was surprised when we were contacted and asked if we wanted to join your network. I mean, I've heard of you before, and I didn't know that you had this internet network. But looking at it, I was fairly impressed, and I was like, "What do they want us guys for?" That's kind of crazy. But most of the content you have, well, not most of it, but a good majority, I would say, is fishing. Do you find that there are listeners out there who are looking for more hunting and firearms related shows, or is it mostly a fishing network?
Yeah. Okay. Great question. And right now it is mostly a fishing network. But remember, that's my background, right? I'm not a hunter. I'm not an angler. I mean, I've hunted in the past, but I'm an angler.
Right.
So all my contacts, all my knowledge, all my specialty, if you will, is in the angling field. So for me, it was easy to attach myself to that end of the industry. But you know what? One of the things about 7 days a week, 24 hours a day of content, no matter how big you think the field is, the producer's field is, there's not enough out there to fill, or not enough producers out there to fill 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, with fresh programming in any genre. So for us to make the secondary decision of going into hunting, which is right behind fishing anyway,
of course,
and then expanding that into camping, boating, cycling, you know, the whole outdoors, is a fairly easy decision to have made. But it's also a decision we made out of necessity, because we do need fresh and good content, so we need to broaden that spectrum.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I think a lot of people that do one do the other as well. I think there's a lot of crossover between those different activities. You have campers that during the times of the year they can hunt, they hunt, and fishers that fish, guys that fish in the spring and then hunt in the fall, and there's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover. I mean, every hunter fishes.
Hey, careful.
Oh, careful.
Oh, no.
Because these two hunters don't.
Hey, guys, you can't do that on live air with me.
I tell you what, I'll go throw a fishing line in the water just to make sure I meet your criteria.
There was a fact back a long time ago that, okay, let me put it this way. Most hunters also fish.
Of course.
And about 80% of anglers also hunt. So, you know what, there's an easy crossover. But one of the things about us in radio, guys, is that just because I don't hunt doesn't mean I don't listen to your show. And just because I don't like firearms, not that I don't like firearms, but it's just, if I didn't like firearms, I'm in the outdoors. So I'm going to listen to a couple of guys talk about anything related to the outdoors. It's going to be interesting.
Yep. That's right. Well, I know. Yeah, you know, you have a couple of scuba shows on, and I don't scuba dive, but I still find the shows interesting. So, you know, yeah, it's absolutely right. You don't have to be involved in whatever sport that is to be interested in listening to a show about it. So, I guess
that
makes
sense. One of the successes of talk radio has always been the news portion of any talk radio. Well, you know what? None of us are interested in any one specific segment of any news. I mean, you know, we just like to hear what's going on, current events, and be kept abreast of what's going on. Well, this network is exactly that for the outdoor enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
that's why we're going to keep continue to expand. And you're right. You know what, that scuba show? I'm not a scuba diver. I hardly swim, by the way. But
as a fisherman, you should think that you'd be able to swim.
A lot of respect for the water. Always wear a life jacket and always make sure you got your sure footing.
That's right.
So, but the scuba show is a very interesting show, as is your show. I mean, it's every. Every show has its own draw that's specialized. People get to build relationships with the hosts, such as yourselves, and they build that affinity, and they want to hear what you're saying, even if they're never going to use a gun or a scuba tank. I mean, it's just they build affinity with you.
Or in the case of Trevor, you know, even if they never ever want to agree with them. I mean,
well, we always need somebody to disagree with.
Well, I think the biggest appeal probably for people listening to our show is the fact that they can listen to us and then laugh at us because, you know.
Yeah, basically, yeah, we're a bunch of.
It makes them feel so much better about themselves.
Okay, so we had another psychiatrist show. Is that what it is? Yeah, interesting. You know, I'm this is only new for us, too. I remember this portion of my life is only a couple of years old, and so we're learning every day about it. But this morning I got a text from a guy who was listening to a program, and he was out ice fishing in the middle of a lake here in southern Ontario. So, I mean, because things are changing rapidly in the way that people are listening to their entertainment packages, such as radio and anything to do with the sport that they pursue, you know what? The way we're delivering the items, so a lot of diversity, but because they're also listening in a place that's convenient for them, it makes it one of those things that, well, we're the only ones broadcasting in that particular field right now, so they'll listen to us and learn to build affinity with us. You know, it's a big, big ball that you got to sort of get rolling. Once it gets rolling, most people have liked the network, so we hope that continues.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear. You know, he's out ice fishing in the middle of a lake, and I guess typically you'd be out there listening to your AM or FM radio, but, you know, to have your phone with you nowadays, you know, it's nothing just to pull up, you know, a streaming audio show and you're good to go. So, yeah, it's really neat that you're delivering it in this way.
Well, you know what, I don't have the facts in front of me. I should have had them in front of me, but it was designed that way, guys. I won't bore you with the total facts, but 79% of our audience comes through some sort of iPhone or specialty phone, with stream that way there, and they listen to it at their convenience. So when they're on the bus, they're listening to us.
Yeah.
And if you draw, I don't know how old you guys are, but I don't know if you can draw your mental picture this far back, but those little wee transistor radios that were so popular when things became portable.
Yeah, I remember my dad telling me about those.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, no wonder they argue with you, Trevor. So I had one of those. Anyway, the point is that we used to take that with us. And then, you know, I went from little transistor radio to great big ghetto blasters, and we stopped that. But I think we're back to the era where people want to get their entertainment when they want it, how they want it. And the iPhone, at 79% of the people who listen to us are listening on an iPhone, is the perfect way to deliver our message.
Yeah, I concur.
Yep. So we're happy. We're very happy.
That's good. So you mentioned you're not really much of a hunter. You're more of a fisher, or angler, I suppose, is the technical term. You did mention that you have hunted before. What sort of hunting have you done?
Very, very, what would you call it, small game, you know, with a .22. I hate to tell you this, but we used to go hunt squirrels and that kind of stuff.
They're tasty. I love squirrels.
I know, me too. but no, I've never gone for deer or anything like that. Just it was all very, very light. And that lasted a couple of years until we started getting into bass boats and, you know, fast-moving boats. And it's just, your life focuses in a different way. Not that it's a bad thing. It's just, I personally didn't have time to do everything, so
sure.
We decided to choose angling.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you know, I mean, fishing's a little bit less expensive too, right? I mean, all you got to do is buy like an $80,000 boat and go screaming 400 miles an hour across a lake, and yeah, no big deal.
three miles of the gallon.
Oh, you got an economizer somewhere?
Oh, it's funny.
It's awful. You're right. But again, fishing, like hunting, can be enjoyed at any level. It can be enjoyed with a $50 rifle. It can be enjoyed with a $25 rod and reel. I mean, or you can make it $5,000. I mean, you could enjoy it at any level. I think most of the experience in both of what we do here is that it gets us outside. It gets us into a zone that is comforting for us and takes away our stress and makes us see what's actually out there in the world as far as real life is concerned and gets us away from the business aspect of it. So I don't think that you'll ever see a huge downturn in either the angling or the hunting industry. And if it does, it's shame on us because that means we didn't show our kids exactly how good it could be for their whole life That's system, right. if you will.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I know some of my better memories are out in the woods with the rifle or shotgun and just kind of tramping through the woods or walking through a field. It's, you're out there, you're kind of one with nature, and it's quiet, and it's not the hustle and bustle of city life. Trucks aren't going by. It's really calming. And I suppose after you turn off your engine out there in your boat, and it's kind of must be very similar to that. I mean, I can't speak from firsthand experience, but I can imagine that it would be.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. And to take the hunting to the other aspect of it, several years ago when I retired after I came back from my big sailing trip, I moved away from Toronto to a different area of Ontario. And in my new backyard, there was a farmer's field in behind, which was about 80, 90 acres. And there was a flock of turkeys that lived in that cornfield. And every couple of days, they come stomping through my backyard. So all 40 or 50 or whatever, I could never actually sat down and count them. But for a large number of big, big turkeys.
Yeah, we can't count that high either, so it's okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I only went to Great Bend. So, I mean, give me a break, right? Anyway, I found myself a couple of things. Number one, I said, you know what, I'm going to get myself one of those things. I'm going to shoot it, and I'm going to eat it for Thanksgiving. I thought it was a good idea. And so I went and bought another gun, and I sat there in my little stand, and I waited for them. And I had a couple right in perfect sight, and I was about to shoot them, and then the thought went through my head, said, wait a minute, hang on a second, that would really be tasty. But I would have to do a whole bunch of work, including gutting it, cleaning it, get rid of the feathers, get rid of that. So let me just go buy it. But the point of that is that even though I never shot that particular bird, I used to go out every few days to the same spot where I had been, and I used to call them. And they used to come. I mean, the only thing I didn't do was shoot them. I mean, I was still enjoying the nature of it. You know, they would come and they would look around, and then something would happen. They'd spook off, and away they go. But
kind of like catch and release, right?
I was just going to say that.
Long distance release.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know what? The outdoors is a great place to use it if you know that it can be used and have some fun with it. On the other hand, if you don't know the fun you can have in the outdoors, doesn't matter what you throw at them, they're going to think that it's cold, wet, and miserable, or too hot, or too cold, or too dry, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really important that when you take somebody out, whether it's fishing, hunting, just to the range, just to do target shooting, it's really important that their first time out is a good, enjoyable experience. Not a lot of stress, not a lot of mosquitoes, not a lot of cold or wet, you know, just a nice, relaxing afternoon or evening or whatever. And have a good time, and that way they understand that being out in the woods or being outside or being on a boat doesn't have to necessarily be, oh, I'm outside and I'm away from my TV and it's miserable. You know, it can be a lot of fun, and I think it's important to show people that.
Yeah. You know what? Remember I told you there would never be a big downturn in angling or hunting?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually wrong, because every 10 years the Department of Fisheries and Oceans does some studies in the fishing industry that showed that, I forget the exact years, but anyway, the two surveys ago, it was like 6.9 million licensed anglers in Canada, and then it went down to one survey ago at 5.5 million licensed anglers. So we had a downturn, but the angling community at least caught on right away that a lot of things were happening. The fathers were not encouraging their kids or weren't taking their kids with them when they went into the outdoors. And so we were losing a generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we in Ontario, at least, you know, with the different clubs and things we have here, we contact on each other on a daily basis, and we talk and share ideas on a daily basis. So a lot of them went into the mentoring program of trying to get kids into the outdoors. And I'll tell you what, as long as we keep that mentoring program and show youngsters how much, I don't know about fun, but how nice it can be to be outdoors, I think we're going to continue to grow and spawn as many anglers and hunters as we want.
Yeah, that's the key, is the kids. You can't, I mean, you can't ignore the kids if you're just taking older guys out into the woods or out to the lake. You know, it's you got to capture them when they're young, and, you know, your childhood memories are among the best for most people. So, you know, I think that's really important that your kids get involved with the same types of sports that you enjoy, and that will that'll help ensure that our sport continues.
So I'm going to try and make a little comparison. I don't think any child remembers his best day of watching television.
I doubt it, no. Well, there was this one time when Smurfs came on right after Thundercats.
Oh, yeah, I caught that too. All right.
Well, I think there's one kind of important distinction between passing on to the next generation and passing on to your next generation. If you look at tendencies in families with hobbies and with activities, youngsters, kids tend to do what their parents did and tend to be into what their parents did. You know, if their dad was into hockey, the kids tend to be into hockey, you know, because that's what the parents would push them towards. If the kids were into hunting or the parents were into hunting, the kids would tend towards hunting, you know. Archery, you know, the same thing. It's all if the parents are into watching TV, the kids are going to be into watching TV.
And that does, yeah, you know? That makes a lot of sense. And so, unfortunately, there's a lot of families out there where, you know, what are you doing this weekend? Well, we're going to watch TV. Do you mean you're going to watch TV?
Well, and a lot of the parents are just cannot be bothered to take the kids. I mean, it's like, well, I'm going. They are hunters. They're outdoors people. They're into that, but they go, well, it's just such a bother to drag the kid around the woods, or it's such a bother to get them up early, or, you mm-hmm. know, those sorts of things. And they miss that long-term view and the consequences of not making that effort.
Well, and you got the right word. Their consequences is definitely the word.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, having the kids out there and learning to enjoy a different aspect of life that they never knew, okay, could actually save their life one day as far as you know, psychiatrist, and make sure their brain is thinking straight and all that kind of stuff, because they've got another place to go and relax and think about stuff. So, you know, I don't want to blame strictly the kids or strictly the parents. It's just the generations. You know, I mean, you don't want to go back and further and blame something. Blame it on things changing, including Sunday shopping. I mean, Sunday used to be a family day. It's not a family day anymore. It's another day to go shopping. So you don't even get to sit around a table eating as a family all together like we all used to do on a Sunday. So, you know, things change, but as long as we can try and keep them somewhat like the old days a little bit and rub that off on the kids, I think it'll be to their benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think this interview would really be complete if we didn't hear a big fish story.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
Because I know there's got to be at least one.
Oh, there's a million of them. Okay, you guys are for the East Coast, so I'm going to tell you an East Coast one.
So, perfect.
So I don't even remember the number of years ago, but let's say 15 years ago, because it's pretty close. I got a call from tourism in Halifax saying, we'd like you to shoot for the Fishing Canada show. We'd like you to shoot a shark show in Halifax. I said, well, you know what, we're busy, we book a year in advance. And anyway, the person talked me into basically dropping the ball and coming out the following week and trying to shoot a shark show because, you know, it was going to turn into big, big things for all of us and they needed the help. So away we went. Well, I spent the most miserable week of my life looking for fins. On the surface in the Atlantic Ocean, 30, 40, 50 miles off the coast of Halifax.
Wow.
It was just the most, depressing fishing trip I've ever had. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. So anyway, day 7 rolls around. I got to go. I mean, I can't hardly wait to get out of there. I've got a couple of angry cameramen who, you know, they're bored. I'm bored. I'm paying them. Anyway, we need to get out of there. So away we come back to Ontario. An hour and a half after we landed, I went to the office, and I got a phone call from the same person. And that person didn't know that we had a bad week. So she said, "So how was your trip? Was it good? Was it as good as I told you it was?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And then I explained to her exactly. Oh, she said, "That's impossible." She says, "You need to get on the next plane, and I guarantee you, you'll get a show within the first half hour that you're here." I said, "You know what? I'm never coming back out to Halifax again. So forget Halifax, forget anything. I'm not never coming back out." She says, "No, Reno, please, you have to do me a personal favor. You have to come out." So anyway, we rejuggled our schedule, and we went out. And by the way, the part of the deal was, okay, I'm coming out there. If we land at noon and we haven't, you know, seen that we're going to probably get a show by at least, you know, the next day, we're gone. And you know what? Never want to hear from you guys again. And so that was the deal. So we got there about noonish. We got checked into the hotel. We got out of the boat. And within half an hour of us getting on the boat, while we're still inside the Halifax Harbor, we start hooking up after shark after shark after shark after shark.
Wow.
Anyway, long story short, 110-pound, 120-pound, 130-pound sharks, at will after a little while, right in the Halifax Harbor, and it turned out to be one of the nicest fishing shows that I ever shot. That would be about 15 years ago.
That's neat.
That is neat. Yeah. What was the difference? Was it, did they?
No, okay. I mean, sharks funnel blood, right?
Right.
All right. Well, the guy that they put me with the second time went out and, you know, he went over to the fish factory, wherever it was, where they ground up the guts and stuff. And he got like 20 pails of 5-gallon pails of blood to use as a slick, right?
Well, there you go.
Okay. So, but the other guy, also the first guy, had also used a slick, but he had chosen to drive for 3-4 hours out into the ocean.
Right.
So we were in an area that there simply wasn't any shark. So no matter how much we looked, and that guy, all he was looking for was a fin on the surface.
Right.
Okay, well, we were never going to see a fin. It didn't matter. We're never going to see a fin. So this guy wasn't looking for fins. He was trying to bait or bring sharks to the boat. So he was laying down this trail, and about a half an hour later, one thing, we looked up, and all of a sudden, there they were. There was just like 30 or 40 that was swimming behind the boat. It was just freaky and fascinating at the same time.
That'd be one of the best times for these scuba guys to get out there, huh?
surprisingly, okay, they don't bite the scuba guys. It's surprisingly, I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously, a feeding shark's going to bite what he wants to bite, but under normal circumstances, these scuba guys are not bothered by that. But anyway, point is that we were using cables or line, fishing line, the same size as those, you know, the cables on your garage door opener?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
About the same, about an eighth of an inch, with hooks, gigantic hooks, I don't know, 10 aughts, with giant chunks of meat on the end trailed in this blood. And all of a sudden, man, we were just getting, you know, like I say, 110, 120, 130-pound sharks, as many as we wanted. And by the end of the day, we had the show shot, and we went back to Toronto.
Wow, that is cool. Yeah. It's nice when stuff like that works out, huh?
Yeah, but that should have happened the week before.
That certainly should have, yeah.
So that's my best fish story, but I got a million of them, and you know what? We would need at least 24 hours to discuss every single one of them. But, you know, Angelo and I have had the great fortune of fishing all over, and I literally mean all over the world. Here, one other quick little one. We went to South America to fish for piranha.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so we're in this dugout canoe with this guide that they'd given us. We had a chart recorder, a little flasher, you know, to see how deep the water was.
Yep.
And the guide had never seen one of those. And, of course, now we're sitting in this area, you know, the chart recorder was telling us it was about 10 feet deep. And we were jigging almost constantly. Every time you put the jig in the water, you had a piranha. It was beautiful. And they were 1.5-2 pound piranha. Really nice piranha, nice-looking piranha. And the guide finally, in Spanish and broken Portuguese and whatever we could communicate with, asked us what that green thing was that was flashing in the red color. And we told him it's to show us how deep it was. And so he said, "How deep is it?" And we said, "About 3 meters." And he said, "No, it's not 3 meters." And the next thing you know, here's this guy. We're catching piranha. Next thing you know, he dives overboard. I swear. To go to the bottom, and he disappears for like, you know, I don't know, it seemed like 10 hours, but he disappeared for like 2 minutes. I guess he must have swam to the bottom, and he come back up, and then he popped his head back up, and he said, yep.
Yep.
3 meters.
Oh, that's funny.
So we've had a lot of great stories and great times. I mean, you know, it's being on the road like that, it's a wonderful experience, and doing what you love, which in our case is fishing, is when you add that to it, it's just a tremendous part of your life.
That's right. That's the key, doing what you love, and that way it never gets old or boring.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you how old and boring it didn't get. So we traveled for 30-some-odd years, the same crew of 5 or 6 people all the time, right?
Yep.
We told the same jokes on year 35 as we were telling on year number 1, and the 5 or 6 of us would still laugh at the same time at the same place at each joke. So.
Sounds kind of like Slam Fire.
Yeah, it kind of does.
It just hasn't been around as long.
Cool. Well, Reno, cool. I got to thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Can you tell our listeners, plug yourself there a little bit, tell them where to go find you? I mean, we're going to do that again at the end of the show anyway, but...
All right. Well, first thing, I guess the easiest way, if they don't have an iPhone, is for them to go to their computer and go to our website. The long version is www.renoviolaoutdoors.com. The short version is www.wrvoradio.com. And it's important that they put the word radio after WRVO. So wrvoradio.com. That'll take it to the front page of our website, and there's a Listen Live link on that particular page. But there's also a page for each one of the producers that's on the network that they scroll down to your particular page, and it'll take you to your past episodes wherever they happen to be on iTunes or wherever that producer is storing their episodes. So they'll be able to listen to your old episodes via iTunes, if that's where you are,
mm-hmm.
or they'll be able to listen live through the 24-hour-a-day broadcast that we feed out of that website. So that's the old antiquated way, I guess, if you will. The most and the easiest way to go is iTunes Radio. So if on your mobile device, if you can get onto your iTunes store, move over to iTunes Radio, find Talk, the selection of Talk, and then scroll down to Reno Viola Outdoors. That's where the network is there, and you'll be able to listen live there. Or they can go to TuneIn Radio. So that's TuneIn Radio. When they get to TuneIn Radio, look for Reno Viola Outdoors. Or they can go to Shoutcast Radio and look for Reno Viola Outdoors, and they should be able to pull the network up on each one of them. Now, I also hear that there's 6 or 7 other services that are carrying us, some legal, some not legal. One is called Streama. So if you find Streama and then scroll down to our page at renoviolaoutdoors.com, you'll be able to listen to the stream there as well. But, guys, I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this. I really don't know where this whole thing is going to end up, but I can see us within the turn of the next year and a half to 2 years being the largest outdoor network on the Internet as far as, strictly outdoors with no newscast or anything else like that. So it's an exciting place to be in. And I'm excited to have you guys here with us, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, it was absolutely our pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Talk to you next time.
You bet.
And we're back. And thank you very much again to Reno for joining us. It was great talking to him, very informative. And, he's a pretty cool guy doing some pretty cool things.
Well, if you count fishing as cool, he is, yeah.
Well, I mean, the water's cool, probably.
Probably.
Fish are kind of cool. They're kind of slippery and coolish. They're cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded, slippery, so they're liberals.
Fish are liberals, not friends.
All right. Let's go on to some listener feedback. We're not too much this week, but...
It's probably a good thing because we're running a little long in other sections of the show, but that's cool. Let's do this.
So the first one is from Mark. I'm going to take the liberty and take it. I think when you get to 1,000 likes, you should get T-shirts made and give away one T-shirt to a lucky Facebook fan. Are Canadians allowed to wear ProGun T-shirts? Or do you need a permit to buy, transport, and wear a ProGun T-shirt? And that's Mark from the gun-friendly state of Ohio.
Yes, actually, my ATT for my Slamfire T-shirt should be here any day now.
Now, do you need an ATT? Like, do you automatically get an ATT to all laundromats, or do you need one for laundromats but not dry cleaners? How does that work?
I think what works is, that's a good idea, Mark. We might do that. That being said, we might not as well. So we'll see.
I'm not sure how lucky the Facebook fan would be to get one of our t-shirts.
Yeah.
That might be stretching it.
But yeah, no, that's a good idea. I mean, we could probably do it like a, I don't know, we could do a special one-off lucky winner.
That's true. And I've been trying to convince you two that we should do something to celebrate 1,000 likes.
I'm all for it. It's just we're not organized to get around to actually doing something. I like the idea. I just don't want to do anything to make it happen. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I hear exactly.
If you run with it, Matthew and I will support you. Right, Matthew?
Yes, definitely.
As long as we don't have to do anything.
As long as I don't have to do a thing, I'm in.
Yeah. Like if I could just say, like, good job, dude, that I can do that. Otherwise, I'm pretty busy.
All right. Sounds good. I'll see what I can come up with.
Hey, it was your idea. Don't let the listeners down.
No,
now they're expecting it.
They don't expect anything from me, I'm sure.
Words of wisdom. And I'm pretty sure that Paul Lathrop wants you to kill a bear with a loincloth and a knife in your teeth.
Are you sure it's not the other way around?
Well, if you guys would listen to podcasts, you'd know he talks about that incident a lot.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to be killing a bear with a knife while the loincloth's in my teeth.
Is that what I said? I probably did.
No.
It doesn't matter, but it's funnier that way. So,
Matt, read this email or message from Doug.
All right, from Doug, and this we got this off of our Facebook message center. So every now and then, yes, we do take stuff from there too. He writes, your latest show, I believe it was the Christmas show, which was quite a while ago, so this clearly is not current correspondence, was the first show I've heard after mining the internet for gun podcasts. Thanks for being out there. Well, I'm glad that our Christmas show is good enough to retain this guy. Maybe. I hope you're still listening, Doug. What? Yeah.
Either way, we're sorry.
I was surprised that Canadians can own guns. We are too some days, Doug. Anyway,
we can own guns? Why wasn't I told?
You were talking about airsoft guns for training. My wife and I have blue guns and airsoft guns for force-on-force training, as both of us carry CCWs here in Nevada, USA. I am a POST certified LEO instructor here in the state, so that's pretty cool, I imagine.
I once open carried in his state.
You probably did.
No, I didn't. That was Nevada.
It was Utah.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, this is Nevada. They're close, but I hear they're different. In my garage, I have...
One starts with an N.
What?
One starts with a U, one starts with an N.
That might be the only difference. I don't know. In my garage, he continues, I have created a 3D head and torso out of cardboard and duct tape, which is suspended... clothed and armed in whatever mode I require for the realism to enhance my training. I plan on several more to create a multi-threat environment in my garage. He is also used out on the range for live fire and gets patched up when I get home. In the garage, I have purchased a G26, so that's a Glock 26, gas-operated semi-auto soft air gun from China to mimic the feel and fit of my CCW in the waistband holster for cheap training. It is useful. That is cool. You can't really shoot your guns at home. Well, you can, but neighbors get irritated.
The police come. Well, I think he's talking about his airsoft guns.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was where I was going with that. I mean,
can you imagine if somebody did that in Canada? You drive by and your neighbor has a dummy in his garage that he's shooting at with a Glock airsoft gun.
I'm planning on doing this. What? Except I was going to tape them to the cats and have the cats run around, so I got moving targets.
Well, either way, like, call me from jail. It'll be fun.
I think that's a great idea. I mean,
I didn't say it wasn't a great idea.
Oh, I know.
Can you imagine if it happened in Canada?
It'd be fine. Just don't open your garage door when you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, you can close those things? Yeah, you can close those things.
You can close the cover to your car hole? I did not know that.
Homer, you got a garage? Nah, I got a car hole. Aren't we all high and mighty?
Mr. La-Ti-Da, you got a garage. Well, what do you call it, Mo? A car hole.
I knew I messed that up.
All right.
But anyway, Doug, that's cool. I like that idea, doing some training that is a bit more realistic. And doing force on force with your wife, that's just awesome. I would love to do that. Not with my wife, not with your wife.
So your duck is going to come shoot you in the knee.
No, I meant mine. Clearly, I meant mine.
That's still appropriate for the show.
It may, well, maybe. However, thank you for the feedback, Doug. We do appreciate it.
Yes.
Believe it or not.
Yes. All right, Trevor. Sorry, it's not my show. Owen, go take it away.
Owen, tell Trevor what to do.
Matt, you tell Trevor to read the best iTunes all right. review.
Trevor says that he doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Like, why am I the middleman?
I'm not an owl. Famous line, Harry Potter.
Yes, I know. I just finished. Never mind. All right, yeah. Your turn.
All right, this comes from Cornfed 1100. Slamfire is like sitting at a round table.
I'm not editing because we need the time, but you go ahead and try it again.
The word table is like sitting at a round. Sitting around. There's too many ins or ahs in here.
There is.
Sitting. Just sit here. I'm kidding. Slamfire is like sitting around a table in a bar with your friends.
There you go.
You can find both facts and BS delivered in the same tongue-in-cheek methods your friends might use after a few beers. Believe it or not, folks, we're sober tonight.
I'm on ginger ale, to be perfectly honest with you.
I drank a beer.
I'm having city water, so who knows what's in that.
You're probably the worst off of the three of us.
Yeah, but it'll take a while for the cancer to show, like, tonight.
Pretty soon you'll be drunk all the time, because your brain's rotting.
Super. I suspect that these guys are friends. No, we're not. Yeah. Because
I wonder where you got that impression.
What?
I wonder where you get that impression.
I suspect that these guys are friends, because finding a fellow Canadian who likes a handgun, who likes handguns is tough. This group enjoys shooting and offers a perspective that is a departure from most Canadian gun owners. I suspect that they study Americans and their Second Amendment freedoms. Keep up the great show. We're familiar with it.
None of that is factual. We don't deliver any facts. None of this is BS. It's all true. And none of us are friends. Come on.
So nice try. Thanks for coming out.
Try again, though, really.
Maybe next time you'll get it right when you leave us a 5-star review that we're very appreciative of.
Yeah, no, we really are.
And that was a new one. I went back and looked through. I'm still on the American feed, and that was a new one that popped up. That's our latest one on the U.S. feed. And to our Canadian listeners, if you've left one recently, I haven't seen it. It's just that I've been looking at these because these have been there for so long, and I don't want to neglect them.
Don't not leave one, because we will get to it eventually, and we do appreciate them all. They are... They're great ego strokers, if nothing else, because it's cool to read them.
Yeah, when
sometimes.
Are we going to read the 1-star ones?
No, we don't read the 1-star ones.
No, we report those buggers.
Yeah, we report them so they get removed.
What do you mean funny? I slur my words? You take that back.
That's funny.
Find you, tighten my helmet, and I'll come get you.
Well, we did it. We didn't. We've got 6 minutes to go, so we got 6 minutes of shout-outs or something here.
I got nothing.
did you go to the range at all?
I said I didn't go to the range.
I wasn't listening. Sorry.
Was I muted? No, your ears were muted. You had your ear mute on.
I don't know what it was, but I did actually. I called you. You could hear us then?
For real? I thought, like, I was talking, and you guys were talking over me, and I thought it was part of the gag.
That would have been hilarious.
Because what I thought it was, I was like, oh, is this where I win a free cruise? And I'm making the sound of the air horn on the ship.
I really wish that had been recorded.
Going to the back on C, and we said this guy was our friend. And he's like, I'm texting you going, you guys are jerk faces.
Well, we are, but we really couldn't hear you.
Talk to me. I'm sure you guys heard me. I'm sure it was that's how the gag was. And if that wasn't how the gag was, then I'm sorry for giving you enough credit to think about planning a gag that funny.
You're welcome. Wait, what?
What?
I don't have any shout-outs either.
No shout-outs? Well, I've got to have a shout-out. So I'm shouting out Grant Cunningham. I'm very sorry I forgot your name. I'm shouting out Jim Downing. I'm very sorry I forgot your name. And Ken Kowalski, you're really cool, and I didn't forget your name, so that's cool.
Suck up.
Yeah. My bad. Yeah, Trevor, you weren't here for that.
Are you trying to get on the show again or something?
Again for the third time.
How could you forget Grant? I wouldn't let that happen.
I'm sorry. I'm bad at these things.
Average Joe?
He was cool, though. We had a really good discussion.
Who, you and Grant?
Yeah, me. See, you weren't here. Yeah, I was on the Rimfire podcast again with Grant and Jim and Ken.
The front door.
We did a round table. We talked about what we were expecting or what we like to see from the firearms community as it relates to Rimfire. So
I'm jealous. Like after Doc and Average Joe, Grant, what makes that show?
Yes. Oh no, Grant is amazing. So is Ken, obviously. It's his show. I got to talk him up. So,
and
Ken,
you'll notice something very peculiar about the Gun Nation podcast. When Grant speaks,
everybody else is silent.
They just listen.
They should have me on. That won't happen.
It used to be like that on this show.
When?
I'd open my mouth, and you guys would just be quiet and let me talk. But that doesn't happen anymore.
Then, it's done from now on. Yeah.
Yeah, we're done with that.
See, I think what happened is I started talking more because you guys told me to, and now you don't want to listen. I should have been quiet. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I heard you, Owen.
No, you didn't.
No.
Nobody listens to me.
What?
All right.
So plus 10 on Sunday. Who's going shooting?
I'm going shooting. I got to shoot my new rifle. Well, that's new.
You haven't shot the papoose yet?
No, I haven't. And I said papoose about 15 dozen times for you this week on the show.
Properly correct? Eric, oh, wait a second. Properly pronounced?
Yes, papoose.
Papoose. Well, how were you pronouncing it before? Pep.
No, I was always saying papoose, and you didn't like it.
Yeah. Papoose. Whatever it was, I was just trying to find an alternate pronunciation because...
That's what you do.
Viola, calooses. I mean, I don't...
Right.
Left.
All right.
So be sure to join one of our National Firearms Associations, CSSA, and the NFA. Check us out on Gun Owners of Canada Forum. They have an awesome contest going on right now. If you're not a member there, you should be because they're giving away a Tavor by the end of the year if they get 12,000 members. So
that
go over.
Is cool. I'd love to have a Tavor. I should really put this trigger in the right way up instead of the wrong way down. I was going to be pulling on the sear trip instead of the trigger itself.
Turn it left ways.
No, dig up, stupid.
You were saying that one? I'm going to have both of you renewed your NFA and CSSA yet? Because I know one of you let something expire.
Somebody shooting.
So that's it, no. Get it done, boys.
Yeah, I got to get on that.
It's only $10.
Yeah, I'm totally getting that.
Yeah, I have to wait till next month because I have no money.
Stop building an arrow. You remind me of a host on a certain show.
Exactly. That's the problem with taking 2 weeks off for Christmas. Not getting paid for 2 weeks.
My financial ruin is your AR gain. You inherited the parts that I couldn't afford to build on. So I want second shot on that thing.
Yeah, he's going to take you to the range, shoot it once, then wait a month until he sees you again. That sounds about right.
You know what, though, guys? It's funny. I have this thing called a telephone. It works. When people call it, I answer it. And I have a car that drives me just about anywhere I want to go. So generally, if somebody says, hey, you want to come shooting this weekend in Woodstock, I could go, yeah, I'm not doing anything. I got a car, money, But, you know, if nobody calls, I can't do that.
Let's go to the range right now.
Anyhow. We're definitely time to wrap up the show now. So,
okay.
Well, if Owen would get on with it.
Yeah, jumping Owen. No,
I'm not saying any more. So I'm just wrap up the show. See you later. Bye.
Join stuff.
Peace out.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.